Welcome to the Domestic Fuel Cast, a podcast devoted to news and information about alternative fuels and energy, produced and hosted by Zimcom New Media.
A look at how the EIA puts together its estimates and how they relate to what the EPA is targeting for renewable energy. I'm John Davis reporting. The government has revised down the targets for cellulosic biofuel use this year. The U.S. Energy Information Administration reports the new rule sets a 6 million gallon target for cellulosic biofuels use in 2013, less than half what was proposed just 6 months ago, and well below the 1 billion gallon target specified in the Energy Independence and Security Act of 2007. Mindy Farber-DeAnda, the team lead for biofuels and emerging technologies at EIA, explains how they came up with those numbers.
In support of the rulemaking, in support of EPA with its 2013 rule, what we do is each October, well, actually it starts back in August, we're taking a very detailed look at what's going on with cellulosic biofuel producers. And we examine which ones we want to see as being actual producers, which ones are simply in the pilot mode, and then how we would look forward, because we're doing a one-year forward forecast. In addition to the cellulosic biofuels, we look at what's going on with gasoline and diesel 1 year forward. Now, that's where it gets a little complicated. Gasoline, we definitely do very detailed month-to-month, 1 year, 2 years forward. Diesel, we don't. We do distillate. And so we have to work through what's going on in terms of diesel for motor fuel use and then take that along with jet and what's going on with ethanol and biodiesel, put it all together in a letter that comes from our administrator here at EIA to the typically the administrator of EPA. That letter is issued each October, and then that's used by EPA to then issue their, to modify their proposed rulemaking and eventually release their full rule. This past year that was delayed, and in the process of the delay, here at EIA, we issued one of our Today in Energy articles, and the article reduced further what we thought was happening with regard to cellulosic biofuel production. And as a result, EPA requested that we issue a second letter, which we did in May. And those two letters then served as the basis for EPA doing its own analysis and revising what it saw as the future, and hence the RVOs, the renewable volume obligations, in its 2013 rule.
She also points out that EIA doesn't consider what might happen, but rather what is in effect with the EPA rules at the time.
The way we approach our projections is always whatever is in place for legislation and regulations at the point in time in which the projection is being prepared. So we never consider what might happen if EPA's rulemaking for 2014 considers X or Y. We consider what is currently in effect. So, for instance, our latest short-term energy outlook came out on the same day as the EPA rule, and it did not take into account what was in the EPA rule. So it had the prior assumptions. Now, when the next one is issued on September 10th, my colleagues will probably take into account what has been issued by EPA and whether that greatly impacts what they're seeing looking forward. For our long-term forecasts, those we're in the process of doing now. And they're typically, the early release will happen in the November-December time frame. And so we're working right now on our annual energy outlook for 2014, and that will definitely consider at least whatever is in play by EPA at the time when we're doing all of our runs.
Ann Farber-DeAnda says her agency's short-term energy outlook shows some good news for fuel consumers.
We were looking at average gasoline retail prices as continuing their fall. So in 2012, they averaged about $3.63 a gallon, and then in 2013, we're expecting an average of $3.52 per gallon, and then in 2014, a further decline to $3.37 per gallon. Diesel fuel prices are likewise expected to decline, though not as significantly. With those, we're expecting in 2012, they averaged $3.97 per gallon, dropping to $3.92 per gallon in 2013, and then down to $3.76. And all this is available through our website. One can go into topics and look at the short-term energy outlook, and in there they'll see all the data and the graphs that are supporting what I'm discussing. But this is coming from the text where it's averaged for the year.
She adds they're doing more analysis of how the cost of traditional fuels impacts the biofuel supply.
Particularly as, you know, we're approaching, well, and exceeding that 10% blend wall that you've heard so many people talk about. So it's, I can't say quite yet what's happening. Because there have been so many other things that have happened at the same time. The run-up in RIN prices, different posturing by different parties, the availability of the cellulosic biofuels, a variety of the availability of, say, Brazilian imports of sugarcane ethanol. Many things have been happening at the same time. Plus, a lot of times our gasoline prices are more moved in response to crude price movements. So it's really tough to decompose all the contribution of these various factors to what we're seeing in prices.
Farber DeAnda stresses the bottom line, the EPA works closely with the EIA to make sure the EPA's requirements match up with the abilities of the renewable energy infrastructure and market.
When EPA issues or is preparing a rule, it goes through PASPAC, through the agencies that are involved, namely, in this case, the Department of Energy and the Department of Agriculture. And so there are different parties who participate in the review, including us at the Energy Information Administration. And so when it came down to determining what was happening with the renewable volume obligations, we were very much involved with them to make sure that the data they were using, because it's our data on gasoline and diesel and, you know, excluding Alaska and excluding the ocean-going vessels, which we don't necessarily get from a specific survey. There are some assumptions involved in calculating that, but that data and those assumptions are coming from us, and we're working together with them to making sure that the calculations that are done properly reflect what we have and what we're thinking and what we're seeing, especially in a rule like this where we were so far through 2013 already.
She concludes EIA is already looking at projections it will provide to the EPA as that agency looks to set targets for 2014. I'm John Davis reporting.
You've been listening to the Domestic Fuel Cast, the official podcast of DomesticFuel.com. Check out the website daily for the latest good news about the alternative energy industry.